University of Medina in Islamic Theology. Sheikh is also the former president of the Muslim Judicial Council, as well as the current president of the United Ulama Council of South Africa. Sheikh also holds the post of the Imam at the Masjid al-Rabi in Portland's Mitchell's Plain for the past 19 years. Sheikh is also the president of our sister school, Darul Arkam. Alhamdulillah, we are indeed honored to have Sheikh here with us today. So without any further ado, I hand over to Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriels.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم لا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين ولا أقل من ذلك. My beloved mothers and fathers and beloved sisters and brothers and honorable youth and children, I greet you with the universal greetings of love and peace and understanding and respect and mercy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors that Allah has bestowed upon us. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once again granting us the honor and the privilege to be in the Jumu'ah. It's a great honor to be in the Jumu'ah. For example, our beloved Nabi Muhammad says in the hadith, "Wal Jumu'atu ila al Jumu'ati kaffaratun lima baynahuma." Your presence from one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah is a means, oh Allah, forgive all your sins. So if you were present last week in the Jumu'ah and you are again here, all your minor sins that you have committed has been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the greatest favor, and that is that Allah has chosen us to be part of the ummah of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't even want to imagine how life would have been if we had to live in kufr and in shirk. We just want to thank Allah that Allah has selected us to be part of the ummah of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, and we bear testimony, we announce and pronounce to the whole world that we bear testimony that no one has got the right to be worshipped except Allah alone. And we also bear testimony and we tell the whole world that we believe and we bear testimony that our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final and the greatest messenger of Allah. Al-Qa'il, the one that said, "Man salla alayya salatan mukhlisan min qalbihi sallallahu alayhi biha ashran." Any person that puts one salah on Rasulullah by simply, for example, just saying, "Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, mukhlisan min qalbihi." In this part, there's a lot of ahadith that motivates us to put salawat on Rasulullah. In this particular narration, Rasulullah mentions, "Whosoever puts salawat on me sincerely from the heart." Words, if a person puts 100 salawat on Rasulullah every day, then Allah will put 1,000 mercy from Allah on you. So that's my first point or reminder that I want to give my dear brothers and sisters, to increase our salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli sallallahu alaihi wasallam and on all his brothers of the Anbiya and Mursaleen and all their families and friends. Wa ahsanallahu khitami wa khitamakum wa khitam al-muslimin. And we also ask Allah in this holy hour of Jumu'ah to grant me and your honorable selves and each and every Muslim the most beautiful ending of this world. And may Allah raise us the day of Qiyamah under the banner of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أما بعد فيا عباد الله, after that, O beloved servants of Allah, for indeed, in the whole world, no one is more happier and no one is more successful than the one that is obedient to Allah and obedient to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَكُولُ فِي مُحْكَمِ تَنْزِيلِهِ. And know well that Allah says in the Holy Quran, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ كَالْأَكْرَمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. May Allah always open our hearts for the Quran. And may Allah increase our love for the Quran. Allah says to us, and these ayat, can you imagine, are the first words of revelation to Rasulullah. It is the first words of revelation to all of us. The very first. And Allah says to us, Iqra, read. And when you read in the name of your Creator, Allah. He has created man from a clot. Iqra, Allah says again, read. وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. In Allah, your Creator, is the most generous, the most kind. الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمُ. Was taught by the pen. And he has taught man that which he knew not. And our beloved Nabi Muhammad says, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. The seeking of knowledge is compulsory on each and every Muslim. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the seeking of knowledge a sacred duty. Like Allah has made the salah fard. And you're going to be questioned the day of Qiyamah of how you perform your salah. Likewise, I'm saying for the second time, Allah has made the seeking of knowledge to educate yourself a sacred duty that you all will also be questioned on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. My beloved ones, usikum wa nafsi awwalan bi taqwa Allah. I advise your honorable selves and myself first to always be conscious of Allah. And that we must always be ready to learn. And we must never stop learning. وَوَفَّقَنَا اللَّهُ أَنْ نَعُودَ إِلَىٰ بُيُوتِنَا وَإِلَىٰ أَهْلِينَا غَانِمِينَ مُسْتَبْشِرِينَ. May Allah grant us that after the Jumu'ah that we return home and we have benefited from the Jumu'ah. Because that is the reason why Allah has made it compulsory for us to be in the Jumu'ah. So that we can benefit, that we improve our lives, that we change our lives. And we go home with a positive spirit and we inform our families of what we have learned in the Jumu'ah. That is the spirit of the Jumu'ah. That is the reason why Allah has made the Jumu'ah compulsory in all of us. Ayyuhal Ahibba, my beloved ones, قَدْ حَثَّنَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنَ تَدَبَّرَ دَائِمًا كَلَامَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. My beloved ones, I just want to remind you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has motivated us. Allah has motivated us that we always ponder over the words of Allah. That we reflect, we think deep about the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتَدَبَّرُوا. So let us ponder on the very first word that was revealed to us. The very first word of the Quran. And that is Iqra. So Iqra, if we ponder over the word, we will find out that the meaning is not only to read, but the meaning is also to empower yourself with education. To empower yourself with knowledge. It also means make research. And allow me to say now, that sadly, most of us, or many of us, we are not reading. We are not implementing the first instruction from Allah. My dear ones, will you please allow me and join me in having a critical look at ourselves. Allow me to use the words of John C. Maxwell. He says, I can't think of anything worse than living a stagnant life. I can't think of anything worse than living a stagnant life. In other words, you are the same and your level of education is the same for 20 years and for 30 years. You are still at the same place. And Mr. Maxwell says in his book, and I would encourage you to buy this book, The 8 Pillars of Excellence. Now, I must admit that I am a fond reader of the books of Mr. John C. Maxwell. And I'm sure that we as Muslims, we know that we can learn from anybody and from everybody. We don't have an attitude, you are a Christian and you are that religion. No. In fact, all our children and most of us, we have learned here in South Africa at different schools and different universities from people of all types of religion. In fact, the companions of Rasulullah, they have translated the books of the Greek philosophers into Arabic to learn from the Greek philosophers. So Mr. John Maxwell says, someone told me, I'm quoting, he says, someone told me, only a third of all adults read an entire book after their last graduation. Only a third of adults. And I must be honest, maybe as a Muslim community, I think even less than a third have read a book, an entire book, after school, after graduation of university. And then Mr. Maxwell, he asks, now why would that be? And he says, because they view education as a period of life and not a way of life. Ya Salam. Isn't that what Islam is all about? That seeking knowledge is a way of life. Isn't it our deen, our religion, the deen of Islam, that says, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. My dear ones, I just want to remind you, it was in the news last year that a Palestinian woman of Hebron in Palestine, 80 years old, she memorized the whole Quran. Isn't that amazing? But what was more amazing for me, what really struck me, that this woman said that if Allah is going to grant her to live until 100 years, she will still go out and seek knowledge because of her love and a passion and a zeal for knowledge. My dear ones, please allow me to say that today's khutbah is meant to be a wake-up call for all of us. And for the Muslims, for the global Muslim Ummah. Because we, the Muslims, whose first word of revelation was Iqra, empower yourself with education, we are supposed to be the forerunners in reading, in seeking knowledge, in research. But it seems that as a global ummah, we are far behind. Remember I said earlier, allow me to look and join me to have a critical look at ourselves. So So I want to say also, as looking at ourselves so that we can improve and move forward, show me a Muslim country that produces a motor vehicle. Show me one Muslim country. Yeah, the countries that are famous for producing motor vehicles is Germany, Japan, Korea, United States of America. Talking about Germany, Dr. Yusuf Qardawi, one of our foremost ulama, and he's still alive, 93 years old. He went to Germany many years ago, and he was driving to the conference 7 o'clock in the morning, and he asked the driver, but where are the people? There's nobody on the road. The driver said to him, Sheikh, the people are already at work. Okay, after the conference, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, he came home. He said, okay, I could understand that there was no traffic jam this morning, but where are the people now? The driver said, the people are already at home. They're getting ready for dinner, and they go to sleep so that they can be early for work tomorrow morning. And he says, Dr. Yusuf Qardawi says, that his experience in the Arab countries is that the people working, they only work 27 minutes for the day. The other part of the day is reading newspapers, drinking tea. We are critically looking at ourselves. I've looked on YouTube just to find out who are the countries that spend most of their wealth or average-wise of the whole world? Which are the countries that spend the most of their money on research? And to my surprise, Korea was first. Then the United States of America, Japan, and China. Spending so much money on the very first word of the Quran. I would have loved the children to be here. But nevertheless, inshallah, they will get the message. Because I wanted to tell them, there was a journalist that wanted to find out, why is Japan so successful? But this person worked 100%, 120%. She packed her bags and left because she got the answer. That people in Japan doesn't need a superintendent or a foreman to look like it is in South Africa. If there's nobody looking, nobody works. Study, and you do your homework. You don't need every time some your mother and your father stand behind you. Did you make the Dhuhr Salah? Did you make your Asr Salah? So, my dear ones, we're moving forward. And I want you to allow me to ask the tough questions. And I promise you, I'm asking these questions only because of love and concern. So one of my questions is, when last did we manage to read the whole book? My second question is, how much do we know and understand from the greatest book and the holiest book, the Quran? Yes, we don't understand Arabic, but is that the end? So you want to tell me that the Quran is not translated into English? Do you know that there are so many people, because of reading the Quran in English, they've got a deep understanding of the Quran? I'm saying again, today's khutbah is a wake-up call for all of us. You know, my brother, Sheikh Abu Bakr, in Woodlands, he said to me a few years ago, Sheikh, a brother embraced Islam. And after 6 months about, he came to me and he said to me, he read the Quran, the translation of the Quran, from the beginning until the end. This is a wake-up call for all of us. Because many of us, or most of us, haven't read the Quran. We don't have time for the Quran. يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الْقُرْآنُ فِي وَادٍ وَهُمْ فِي وَادٍ غَيْرُهُ. A time will come, says Rasulullah, when the Ummah will be on the one side of the world and the Quran will be on the other side of the world. This is a wake-up call. Yes, we've got a lot of time for sports. We've got a lot of time for Manchester United and Liverpool, and we are angry if your team or my team lose. But you're not angry that you haven't read the Quran and you haven't studied the Quran. So this is a wake-up call, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. My dear ones, I've selected this topic for today because our children and our youth, they need us to motivate them, to every time remind them of the first instruction from Allah to each and every Muslim. Iqra, read. About 40 years ago, I still remember Sheikh Abu Bakr Najjar, may Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus, a former president of the MZC and one of the great ulama from Cape Town. I still remember, and I want you to remember, and I want you to tell your children that Sheikh Abu Bakr Najjar said, it was at Witbank Civic Center. Just listen to this, that the first word of the Quran is an open declaration of war against ignorance. Allow me to repeat it so that you can remember it. This is what Sheikh Abu Bakr Najjar said. A profound statement, a strong statement. The first word, not the first verse, the first word of the Quran is an open declaration of war against ignorance. There's no place for ignorance in Islam. My dear ones, another motivational story, true story, that you should share with your children and your grandchildren and try to remember the story. It's a true story. That Benjamin Carson, in his book, The Big Picture, Benjamin Carson, he says, when I was at school, in primary school, the whole school came together to decide that I am the dumbest in the whole school. And they tried to say that I am the dumbest in the whole world, but I managed to confine them to the school. And he said one day his mother, single parent, told him, Benjamin, you and your brother Curtis, from now onwards, no more TV programs, no more TV programs. You're only allowed 3 programs for the whole week. And I want the two of you, to go to the public library and read 2 books every week. And you must give me a written report. He says in his book, only when I was a big man, I realized that my mother at that time couldn't read. But she would have done this. Look at my report. But anyway, he says, so one day, in grade 5, the science teacher came into the class and kept up a black rock and asked, learners, children, who can tell me what's the name of this rock? And he was first looking at the intelligent children. And he noticed nobody could answer. And then look at the other children, nobody could answer. And he raised his hand for the first time in his school career. And the children thought, oh, khotalah. This is going to be now a stupid answer because he's must the dumbest in the whole school. And the teacher said, Benjamin, go for it. He said, sir, the name of that rock is obsidian. And there was silence in the class. And the teacher said, Benjamin, you're right. And he felt so proud of himself. And he said to himself, that is because of my reading. And then he decided right there, now I'm going to read all my subjects, biology, history, geography. He says in grade 7, the same children that call him the dumbest in the whole school, came to him and said, Benjamin, can't you explain us this problem in mathematics and this problem? And he said he couldn't help to brag. He said to them, first sit at the feet of your master and your master will explain to you. Now, it's a long story, but the end of the story is, today, Benjamin Carson is one of the most famous neurosurgeons in the world. From the dumbest in the school, and because of his mother encouraging him to read and to read and showing him the way, go read 2 books. He became not only a medical doctor, but one of the most famous brain surgeons in the world. Because his mother, without knowing, motivated her 2 sons to implement the very first instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My beloved ones, part of the advice that we need to give to our children is included in the ahadith of Rasulullah. The first one, and I want you to remember when you are going to advise your children and your grandchildren, is that the Nabi Muhammad says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. All your actions and whatever you do is based on your intentions, your sincere intentions. So we must teach our children that I'm sending you to school and to university so that you can be a benefit, and that you are going to make a difference in this world, not for money. Because the understanding in the world today is that my child must go to school and go to university so that my child can earn a lot of money. And that's the unfortunate situation in the world today. It's all about money. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And Rasulullah says, and whatever your intention is, Allah will grant, it will happen. So if your intention is to go out, to seek knowledge, to make a difference, Allah will grant that you will make a difference. You know, this hadith, when I was a student in Madinah to Munawwara, one of my teachers said to us one day, and I want you to remember this the way I remember it for more than 30 years. He said, the problem with the Muslim Ummah is not that they've got bad intentions. The problem with the Muslim Ummah is they've got no intentions. For example, and fathers, you will agree with me, you will appreciate it. He says, if a father goes out in the morning, every morning, with the intention to earn halal income and to please Allah and to look after his wife and his children, to please Allah, then Allah will reward him for every day going to work, for every 7 and 8 hours while he's working. So we are missing out. He said to us, you as students, if you come to university with the intention that one day you want to make a difference for the sake of Allah, Allah will reward you for every day sitting in class. The second advice that we need to give our children with the hadith of Rasulullah, man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fi bi ilman sahala Allahu lahu tariqan al jannah. Any person that seeks a way to educate himself, then Allah will make the way to the Jannah easy for you. And the third hadith that we need to tell our children, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of all people are those people who are most beneficial to humanity. May Allah grant all of us and our children to be a great benefit to humanity. My dear ones, in conclusion, allow me to say, Tubu ila Allah wa staghfiru. Repent to Allah and ask Allah forgiveness. Well, first of all, our beloved Nabi Muhammad says, make tawbah to Allah and ask Allah forgiveness. For indeed I, the Prophet of Allah, I ask Allah every day 100 times forgiveness, and I repent to Allah 100 times. And also our beloved Nabi Muhammad says, كُلُّ بِنِ آدَمْ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِينَ التَّوَابُونَ. Each and every child of Nabi Adam makes mistakes and wrongdoings and evil doings. But the best of them, says Rasulullah, are those people who return to Allah. So even if a person was the worst person and he comes back to Allah, Allah will accept him and receive him with open arms. I've been delivering Jumu'ah for more than 30 years. And 99% of my Jumu'ah, when I come to this point, I love to remind my brothers and sisters, especially those who are neglectful with the salah, those who are not making 5 times salah, or those who are making 5 times salah, but they make dhuhr and asr after tonight, maghrib, isha, all together. Allah says about those people, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَهُمْ أَنْ صَلَاتِمْ سَاهُونَ. A wail, a certain valley in the fire of Jahannam for those people who make 5 times salah, but they make it out of their waqt. Now what about those people who don't make salah? So I just want to, based on the hadith of Rasulullah, all mankind make mistakes, but the best of them are those who return to Allah. So my dear brother and sister, if you are here, and you are one of those people who are neglectful with the salah, this is your moment to make that decision that from now onwards, from today onwards, you're not going to miss one salah. And if you're going to make that decision, you're on your way to success and you're on your way to Jannah. Just imagine the day of Qiyamah when all of us are going to stand in front of Allah waiting for judgment. You either go to Jannah or you go to Jahannam. And the malaika come and they give you a report because your whole life is an examination that you are writing. And you are going to receive your report only on the day of Qiyamah. And just imagine they give you a report in your right hand and they say to you, you've passed. You're going to Jannah. Ya Salam. Just visualize and imagine how happy you're going to be. In fact, Allah records that moment in the Quran. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَ بِيَمِينِ فَيَقُولُ هَاءُ مُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. Allah says that person is going to say, here's my book, here's my report, I've made it to the Jannah, I am going to the Jannah. And just for a moment think, you are standing there and you are waiting. And the malaika come, the angels come, and they give your report in your left hand. And they say to you, you failed. You're not going to Jannah. You are going to the Yalfaya. And maybe they're going to say to you, can you remember on the 1st of March 2019, you were at the Masjid of Islamiyah, Masjid al-Furqan. And there was a person, Ibrahim Gabriel, he reminded you about the Salah. And still you didn't make your Salah. So don't cry. Don't regret, it's too late. So I'm saying for the second time, my dear brother and sister, if you are not yet 5 times on time salah, this is your moment to make that crucial decision that from today onwards, you're not going to miss one salah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. My time is over, but I quickly want to share with you, you know, that hadith that I've read now, Kullu bin Adam, all children of Adam make mistakes. I say that hadith for more than 30 years. But just recently, for the last 2 years, I've added another hadith. And that is that the Nabi Muhammad says, guarantee for me 6 is who? This Rasulullah. Awfu idha ahadtum. The first one, if you make a promise, carry out your promise. Uzduku idha haddattum. The second one is, whenever you speak the truth that will be part of your guarantee to the Jannah. The third one is, carry out your responsibilities. For example, part of our responsibilities as husbands is to honor and love and respect our wives. The fourth one, Rasulullah says, guarantee for me you're going to protect your private parts. And this is a reminder that we as Muslims, whoever we are, whether I'm imam or a principal of a school or whatever I am, I need this reminder because we live in a time of zina. Immoral sex. You guarantee for me you're going to protect your private parts, and that will be part of your guarantee to the Jannah, says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah protect us. And anyone that has done or still busy with zina, this is your moment to make tawbah and to return to Allah. The fifth one, Rasulullah says, and this is also a reminder that we need every day. Rasulullah says, can you imagine? Our leader said to us, guarantee for me, you're going to lower your gaze. Don't look at haram. I always remind the men that some men are looking at women in the street as if they are looking at a Wimbledon tennis match. And you're not allowed to do that, Jamaat Muslim. But what is even more dangerous in the time Allah is looking at them, they look at pornography. This is the reason why we have a Jumu'ah, so that we can be reminded, so that we can improve our lives, so that we can get closer to Allah, closer to the Jannah, repent to Allah. So don't look at pornography. It is meant to kill your iman. Your family together, you must realize that all your family members, they are human beings like you. What does it mean? As you are full of mistakes and shortcomings, likewise your family members. So if your brother or your sister or your cousin or your aunt or your nephew or your niece has done anything wrong to you or said anything wrong about you, and they come and ask maaf, forgiveness, please open your heart and forgive. Don't be the cause that your family will be split up for years because you didn't want to forgive. So my dear ones, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the rest of our lives is going to be the best part of our lives. And don't forget, the main part of the Jumu'ah was that we need to wake up when knowledge is concerned, and we don't want to stay stagnant, and we want to read the Quran. And lastly, last year I told my Jama'ah in Portland, we want to embark on reading the Quran from the first page until the last page. So hopefully, inshallah, when Allah grant me a long life, if I'm going to be here in next year or in 2 years, many of the brothers are going to come and tell me, Sheikh, alhamdulillah, I took your advice. From last year up till now, I've read the whole Quran. My dear brothers and sisters, it was an honor to be with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, as we've met here today, that we meet with one another in Jannah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
We say shukran to Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriels for that very inspirational word. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Sheikh the necessary health and strength to continue to inspire the community for many years, inshallah. Sheikh holds a BA degree from the University of Medina in Islamic theology. Sheikh is also the former president of the Muslim Judicial Council, as well as the current president of the United Ulama Council of South Africa. Sheikh holds the post of as Imam at Masjid al-Rabi in Portland, Mitchell's Plain, for the past 19 years. Sheikh is also the president of our sister school, Darul Arkam. Just an announcement. We are requested to make dua for Maryam Abdullah, who passed away.